I feel like every time that I teach, God just has my entire teaching. So I don't need to teach, basically. Well, that's great. I heard some fun stories last night. Who was up really late last night? Raise your hands. I know. Well, if you were up late, I'm gonna make sure you're awake. Why does everybody stand up? Okay, move a little bit. All right, now close your eyes. Everybody close their eyes. Now I want you to raise your hand if you think you're limiting God. Now open your eyes and look around. You can sit down now. Did you see everybody raising their hands? We got some young believers in the front row. We got some really mature believers on all sides. Everybody's limiting God, right? We're all limiting God in our lives. And to those who didn't raise their hands, I saw you. Okay? Meet me in the back later. Maybe not bad. I just want to learn. All right, so there's hope, right? Today I get the privilege to share on how to stop limiting God in your life. So we're going to answer three questions today. Why am I limiting God? How do I stop limiting God? And how do I activate the limitless power of God in my life? Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. First Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? God didn't want us to be ignorant. He didn't want that. He wanted us to know all that he has done and will do for us. If he didn't want to do that, well then why would you be holding a Bible in your hands right now? Right, this is God's word. It's God's instruction for us. It's his will, as you see right behind me. It's his will for us. God gave this to us so that we would know the truth. He wanted us to know what he has done, he can do, and he will do for us. And that knowledge, just that knowledge of what God has and will do for you, can transform your life. It has transformed my life. It can change how you think. It can change how you speak. And most importantly, it changes how you act. But only if you believe it, and only if you believe what you have. So one of the main reasons that we are limiting God in our lives is because we don't know who we are in Christ. That is one of the main reasons. When we were born again and received God's Spirit, which is Christ in us, we became members of God's family. God's family. Let that sink in for a moment. You are part of God's family. That's pretty cool. And as a son, we received some sonship rights. Right? We got some rights being part of this family. And although we don't have time to go in depth into all of them, let's just highlight them today. Turn to Romans chapter 5. I wanted to remind you guys of some of these awesome rights we have as God's kids. Romans chapter 5. And in verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, many be made righteous. And we know righteousness is the ability to stand in God's presence as his kids, to stand in God's presence without any guilt. That's righteousness. Right? By claiming that you are righteous, you're claiming that seat in God's household. You're claiming that you're his kid. That's what you're claiming. Right, we're his sons and daughters. That's what you're claiming when you claim righteousness. Right at the beginning of chapter 5 of Romans, look at verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I always think of justified as just as if you never sinned. Just as if you never sinned. Right? Because of the legality of what Jesus Christ accomplished by fulfilling the law, God justified us, or as Drew taught last night, released us from all of our prisons, released us from all of that baggage, all of our past sins. We're not bound by the past anymore. We can live free, free from bondage, free from that burden of sin and condemnation. We're free from that. It's gone. And by claiming we are justified, we can claim peace. You can just breathe easy. Turn to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. If Drew gave me like 3 hours, we could spend a lot more time on this, but I don't know if you could sit for 3 hours. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom by his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We are redeemed. We are redeemed. We are redeemed from what? That control that Satan had over us before. We're redeemed from that. When Christ rose from the dead and presented his blood as a sacrifice for us, it was accepted. In our redemption, it's a done deal. It's a settled thing, right? We have been redeemed. God delivered us and rescued us from the powers of this world. The darkness of this world has no legal authority over you anymore. Don't let it. Don't let it. By claiming we have been redeemed, we're free and untangled from this world. We're free and untangled from the darkness of this world. Turn to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. And in verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. God sanctified us. He set us apart. He set us apart from this world, as it says also in 1 John, right? Right? We're not of this world. By claiming that we're sanctified, when we turn on the news, we don't have to be discouraged anymore. We don't have to have any fear or worry or discouragement. We can rest easy knowing that we have the hope. We have the hope of Jesus Christ's return. And that we have a secured, carved in stone place with our Heavenly Father. That's a done deal. Turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Hope you're all awake now. I made you work. Verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now we got a job. We got a job. And as sons and daughters, we are ambassadors for God. And by being ambassadors, we have a special assignment. We have a special assignment to bring others back to God, to tell them about what we have. That's a special assignment. So now that you know who you are in Christ, do you believe it? Yeah, that's powerful. You know who you are now. Turn to 2 Corinthians. Oh, we're already in 2 Corinthians. Go to verse 4. So why do we limit God? Why do we limit what we have from God? We just found out what we have. Why do we limit that? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God should shine unto them. And who's the God of this world? The adversary. Blinds us. Right? The devil blinds you. So my daughter, my oldest daughter, just went to the eye doctor recently. And if you've been to the eye doctor and had your eyes tested, you get them dilated. Right? And then you walk out with these like massive sunglasses. She was blind. Like she could not see. Think about that. That's what the devil's trying to do. Blind you. Right? The devil's the God of this world, and he uses his power to twist the truth. And he celebrates evil. And he loves to foster some fear. That's what the devil likes to do. And the worst part about all that is he likes to focus his energy on you. He likes to focus his energy on believers. And he wants you to doubt what you have, what we just talked about. That's what he wants. He wants you to forget what you have and not use what you have because he wants to control you. That's what the devil wants to do. Turn to Luke, Gospel of Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Chapter 10. And in verse 19, behold, I give unto you power. This is Jesus Christ talking. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. We don't have to let the devil into our lives. We don't have to let him control us. We don't have to listen to him. You're not of this world, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. That means you're greater than the devil. That's what that means. And you have authority in Christ over him. You have the power over the devil through our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. That's what you have. Power and authority over the devil. Woo! You are fully equipped in all situations. That's who you are. That's what God gave you. Turn to 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. And in verse 7, for we walk by what? Faith, not by sight. We frequently limit God in our lives by looking at a situation without our spiritual eyes. We look at it using our five senses. We limit God in our lives by our wrong thinking or wrong believing, and that comes from looking at the world. That comes from the knowledge that we get from this world by our five senses, by that sight. We limit God when we think we can do it ourselves. Right? You say, I got this. Who said that before? I'm at fault. It's okay. It's okay. Why do it yourself when you always have another set of hands? Right? What's that common phrase? Many hands make light work. Let God work. He's always there. Always that extra set of hands. Why do it yourself? There are many times when you feel like you can do it by yourself, or you don't think God will help you because it's such a small thing, and like, I don't need to bother him for that. Right, that happens a lot. I would presume that you guys have that situation happen. But that couldn't be further from the truth. We always have an open line to God. We always do. He's always accessible and never too busy for his kids. Us parents in the room, you're never too busy for your kids. that's God. We're his kids. You are never too busy for your kids. You make time for them in all situations, right? And after we received Christ in us, we became his kids. His kids. That new birth gave us a direct line of communication to God our Father. He's number one on the speed dial list, and you don't need to remember his phone number, right? No matter how big or how small, or even if you don't think you deserve it, he's still there. Still there. He's ever present. Guess what? God still wants to help, whether you think you deserve it or not. He's still there. We have access to God in every situation, every day, all situations. So look in the mirror. I'm going to challenge you. Look in the mirror. What do you believe about yourself? Because what you believe about yourself is how you're going to walk. That's how you're going to walk. It starts by knowing who you are and what you have in Christ. We're sons of God. Sons of God. Let that sink in a little bit. Sons of God, sonship rights. We talk about this all the time. Let them sink in. And let joy come out. That should just blow you away, because it blows me away every time I think about it. Now, we had a lot of faults. We had a lot of faults before. But when we were born again, we dropped off those faults, that baggage, off at the nearest bus stop. It's no longer with us anymore. It's no longer with us. So don't let it come into this room. Don't let it come into your lives. It's gone. That's in the past. Turn to chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians. Now, we may be limiting God because we don't trust or believe God will deliver you from a prison. Well, Drew taught us last night, that couldn't be further from the truth. Right? You may today be facing a sickness, or maybe there's a fear in your life or a doubt. Maybe it's financial related. Release from that prison. Release from it. And in verse 8, everybody there? Okay. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound in every good work. There's a lot of alls and every in that verse. Okay? That's a lot. God's trying to tell us something right there. Okay? I'm going to hit you with a little bit of truth here. You are limiting God if you don't have all sufficiency in all things. I'm going to say it again. You are limiting God if you don't have all sufficiency in all things. Sufficiency is a promise from God. Sufficiency in all things is a promise from God. It is God's will for his kids to have all sufficiency in all things. However, many of us have limited God by not allowing him to fulfill on that promise. God is our ability. God is our strength. God is our sufficiency. Let's go to the clean parts of our Bible in Exodus. Very clean. Genesis, Exodus. So now we know why we might be limiting God. Now let's stop limiting God. So let's find out how we activate the power of God in our lives. Exodus chapter 3. So I'll paint you a picture here. So at this point in time, Moses had lost hope. He had lost hope. He started to doubt his ability to lead the Israelites to the promised land. And so what did Moses do? Well, he asked God to help. Pretty novel thought, right? And what did God do? He helped. Oh my gosh. Oh, simple, right? He helped. All right. Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. I am that I am, or I will become whatever you need me to become. God can meet all needs and become whatever we need him to become. God is not limited to the things you can see. God is not limited to those things, so don't limit him to the things you can see. The Egyptian religion has hundreds of gods, or did have hundreds of gods. And they had different gods for natural forces and cosmic order and even like social ideals. And there was like even village gods that were very specialized. And despite their quote unquote power that these Egyptian gods had, the Egyptian gods were not all powerful. They were limited. The Egyptian gods could only use their powers for specific things. Or certain situations, or specific people. You know what? We do that to God. We put limits on what he can do in our lives. Even though our God can become whatever we need him to become, as he just told us, we make the same mistake that the Egyptians did. We limit God to specific situations in our lives. We limit God to specific people, and we limit God in very specific ways. God can only help me in this thing. That's not true. He just told us he could become whatever we need him to become. So whatever situation you have in your life, God will become whatever he needs to become for you. To fulfill the promise that he is your sufficiency in all things. I'm going to give you some other examples here. God can heal me, right? We know that. But maybe you feel like God can't forgive me for something I did. So then you condemn yourself for that. And then you condemn yourself for not forgiving yourself. Condemnation is a slippery slope, isn't it? Yes, yes. Us former Catholics, we know that very well, okay? Or maybe you say, hey, God can do this for me, but not that. I mean, you fill in the blank, okay? God becomes whatever we need him to become, so turn him loose. Turn him loose in your life. God has no limits. There is no box for God. He likes to color outside the lines, okay? Don't give him a coloring book, okay? It's all over the place. Are you facing a situation that you think you can't get through right now? Or maybe it's someone telling you you can't do it, all right? We have a God that makes a way when there is no way. When you think there is no way, God will make a way for you. He is a limitless God. Turn to the Gospel of Matthew. Chapter 17. I'm going to look at a pretty cool record of something God did. Chapter 17, verse 24. That's where we'll start. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, doth not your master pay tribute? And many of us know this is the temple tax, right? And the temple tax is a mandatory tax for all the men to keep or upkeep the temple in Jerusalem. Verse 25. He saith, yes. And when he has come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Peter saith unto him, well, strangers, of course. Well, Jesus saith unto him, then are the children free. Now, what Jesus is saying is, do kings ask their kids to pay a tax to their own house? Well, no, that'd be strange, right? And so if Jesus is the Son of God, why should he pay for his own house? Verse 27. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast the hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto him for me and thee. A fish with a coin in his mouth. Y'all see that? Like, you open it up and it's a fish with a coin in the mouth? That's just crazy. And that coin, it was sufficient to pay the tax for both Jesus and Peter. Sufficient. What does that mean? That means exact change. It wasn't like, hey, here's a 20 and can I have a 5 back? No, it was the exact change. There's a few of us in this room that are going hiking in a couple weeks. I'm looking at JM right now. I know you've been training. We're excited. And one of the coolest things that we're going to do hiking on this trail is we're going to go fishing. And if you've ever gone fishing, you know that the easiest part is fishing. Catching's a different story, okay? Catching's a way different story. And there's so many fish in any stream or lake or even in the ocean. And when you go fishing, you may be out there trying to catch a certain type of fish, like a trout or a bass. That's the type of fish, right? Or maybe you're just out there just trying to catch anything. That's usually me, okay? But none of us go out to catch an exact fish. None of us. Think about how many fish are in a body of water, okay? Now, put yourself in Peter's shoes and come back to this verse. What are the odds you pull up the exact fish with a coin in its mouth, and that coin is the exact amount of money to pay the tax? What are the odds? Who wants to guess? Right? What are the odds? You would have never asked God for that. That would be silly, okay? You would have never asked them, because by your five senses, that is just out of this world, okay? You would have never said, God, can I go fishing and catch a fish with a coin in its mouth? No, okay? God's funny. God colors outside the lines. God makes a way when there is no way. But let God do it his own way, right? Don't put a box around him. Let him do it his own way, right? Enjoy the things that we see here. Believe they can and will happen to you, right? Maybe you have financial problems right now. Maybe you're dealing with something in that area. Stop telling God how to figure out the problem. Right? Ask God for help. Say, God, I need some financial deliverance. And let God work. Sit back and wait. When you give it to God, have great expectations, as we heard in manifestations today, have great expectations that he will figure out how to deliver you his own way. Just let him do it. Don't put God in a box. Don't limit his power in your life. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. God is an all-able and all-willing God. Anything he's able to do, he is willing to do, and God can do anything. So whatever he's willing to do, he's able to do. And he's willing to do anything for his kids. So there's nothing God will not do for you. Absolutely nothing. God wants to instruct his kids. He wants to help. He wants to protect. He wants to provide. That is God's nature. It is his nature as a father to his kids. And the best part about having a father like that is he's easy to find. He's very easy to find. He's always present. God is an everyday God. He is not a God of last resort. God is just looking for ways to bless you. He's looking for ways to provide for you. He's looking and waiting for you to reach out. God here, I'm just sitting here waiting for Drew to give me a call. I could really help him out in that situation. God doesn't need to be reminded of what he will do for you. But you know who does? You do. You need that reminder. You need that reminder. You pray to God to be reminded of what he has done for you and what he will do for you. You need that reminder. The more you talk to God, that builds your believing in what he'll do for you and what he has done for you. It's so easy to forget the things that God has done for us in the past. You pray to God for those. It reminds you of all the great things that he has done and will continue to do for you. We're the ones that need that reminder. We're the ones that need that reminder to believe that God truly is limitless. God is ever present and easy to be found. He is even easier to find when we need him. Think about you're driving on a highway. A lot of you drove on a highway today. If you were driving at night and you saw a big neon light sign that said, God is here, are you going to drive past it? Or are you going to pull over and talk to God? That's how ever-present he is. He is flashing that neon light sign for you to pull over and talk to him. Turn to Philippians. We'll close in Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. And in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And that working translation, I am ready for anything and equal to anything through Christ who infuses inner strength into me. For I have the ability and action to do all things with Christ in me who strengthens me. It's a great working translation. Reminds you of how powerful you are and what God did for you to make you that powerful. In the late 1800s, there was a Christian. His name was D.L. Moody. And he gave up a very, very lucrative shoe business to devote his life in moving God's word. And I wanted to read one of his quotes from a battle during the Civil War. The world has yet to see what God can do with or for and through and in and by the man who is fully and wholly devoted to God. Believing makes all things possible. Why don't we accept that challenge in our own lives? Do away with anything that distracts you from your central purpose. Your central purpose of obeying and following the word of God, because it's the will of God. Let your lifetime goal and that central focus become striving to know God throughly. And being fully persuaded on your own beliefs that you act on them without hesitation. Let the word of God reign in your hearts to manifest this more than abundant life that God has promised us. So, here's the challenge. When faced with something hard, this is an opportunity for you to believe in God. So when you think God doesn't care, or because it's too small that you don't call out to him, this is an opportunity for you to trust in God. And when this or that, you fill in the blank, this is an opportunity for you to expect God will provide. Expect he will provide. And not just provide, but provide more abundantly than you could ever imagine. Let's stop putting God in a box. It's time to let God reign in our lives. It's time to let him loose. God is limitless. He is not confined to what you think or what you can see by your five senses. Or maybe it's what your five senses tell you is possible, because God is in the business of making the impossible possible. God is always willing and always able in all situations. There is not one situation that will stop God. Not one wall that God will not go through for you. Not one thing. God is an everyday God. He is ever present in our lives. It is God in Christ in you. That's what that means. Ever present in our lives. Always with us. Always the second set of hands to make light work. And that God in Christ in you, that's no longer a mystery. I recently saw a picture of a man next to a redwood tree in California. I know, Steve, you're from California, some redwood trees. And if you don't know what a redwood tree is, it's one of the tallest trees in the world. Very, very big. And they live many, many years. Yet a lot of people don't know that the roots of these trees are really, really shallow. They actually only go down about 6 feet. So a redwood tree can grow over 100 feet tall, but the roots are only 6 feet deep. And those roots, rather than growing deep, what they do is they spread out and intertwine with the roots of other trees. By growing wide and connecting underground, they support and stabilize one another. That's how God wants us to be with all other believers. We support one another with God and Christ Jesus as our foundation. So everybody stand up. I want you to place your right hand on the shoulder of the person next to you. I told you I was going to make you work this morning, so sorry if you stayed up too late. Each believer in this room can help you be better and help you maximize God in your life. Each person here and every believer around the world is entitled to a more than abundant life. That is a promise from God. It is time to activate God in your life. It is time to activate him. And all the people in this room can help you do that. And you can help all the people in this room do that as well. So are you limiting God? Today is a time to stop. Let us believe that we have the abundance that God has promised to us and release the power of God in your life. Thank you. Great.